almost exactly 12 months ago now, on the 4th of December 2024, a $10 billion construction project began about a mile outside of Rayville, Louisiana, a town with a population of about 3,500 people and a town that could soon be rendered economically obsolete. When it's completed, sometime in the next 4 years, the Hyperion Data Center will be the largest complex of its kind anywhere in the world, for now at least. Covering an area of 4 million square feet, it will be the flagship location for Meta's AI capabilities. Facilities of this kind tend to be hard to wrap our heads around, so despite what you may have heard in the news, no, this won't be the size of Manhattan. But to give you a sense of scale, the county's regional primary school sits on the corner of the 2,200-acre site, and it's absolutely dwarfed by the facility. But instead of teaching the children of tomorrow, this closely guarded center will be training something far more valuable. It will be home to over 4 million GPUs for an estimated 5 gigawatts of compute capacity based on current estimates, although the exact figures nobody truly knows, including Meta engineers themselves. The chips powering these facilities are advancing so rapidly that centers like Hyperion are built to facilitate hardware that doesn't even exist yet, and, of course, this is just one of hundreds of similar facilities popping up all over the world at the moment. The massive capital expenditure being made by these companies is not exactly breaking news anymore, but what is worth discussing is why they picked here to make that investment. This rural Louisiana location, surrounded by cornfields and hog farms, despite being thousands of miles away from Silicon Valley and not close to any major talent hubs, was not picked randomly. It was a very careful compromise between three major factors. Three major factors that often come at odds with the comparatively tiny local economies surrounding them. The first item on the shopping list for these mega projects is accommodating government regulations. This massive center and others like it have brought billions of dollars in investment into small and otherwise overlooked regional communities. This opportunity alone has made politicians at all levels, from local city councils all the way up to heads of state, extremely excited. To make their cornfield more attractive than that cornfield one stay over, governments at all levels have offered generous concessions to tech companies, exempting them from things like development applications, impact studies, community consultation, and even property taxes. State and local governments across the world have also been quick to offer infrastructure and utility support to power and service these massive centers out of their own budgets, rather than shifting the upfront costs onto data centers themselves. When cutting red tape and tax incentives don't work, there's always just direct subsidies as well. Now, obviously, all this costs a lot of money, but exactly how much is actually a really good question. Within the USA alone, the exact spending is not public information. A report by the policy institute Good Jobs First has tracked these incentives since the very beginning of the data center boom and found some concerning holes in what the public is being told. At least 36 states have individually handed out economic development subsidies for data center projects, but only 11 of those states have disclosed which individual companies were receiving those public benefits. Of those 11 states, only 5 have actually reported how much they're estimating to spend on these subsidies, and the numbers get worse the more specific you get, but more on that soon. This is also just within the USA, which by comparison makes a lot of other development centers look positively transparent. When we started researching this video about 2 months ago, OpenAI announced a massive data center project in Argentina. The only number that made the headlines was the $25 billion investment into the struggling country. The details that were, glossed over was the fact that Argentina already struggles with regular power outages and increasingly severe droughts before adding the demands of an energy and water-hungry data center. It also wasn't a great sign that the energy company that co-signed this record-breaking deal, Sur Energy, effectively had no public profile before this announcement, and according to the Argentinian Business Register, is operated out of this small apartment building in Buenos Aires. The channel Slidebean did a great on-the-ground investigation into this particular thread just last week, so I'll leave a link to their video below as well. Either way, all of this is painting a pretty clear picture. There's a genuine public concern that if the AI bubble pops, it'll be taxpayers on the hook to bail out these massive projects that have become too big to fail. The reality is, we already are. the most conservative, low-end estimate of just the direct subsidies that we actually know about puts total government support of these projects into the $10 billion range in 2025 alone. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Government bending the rules and cutting some red tape in the name of business development isn't exactly anything that new or shocking anymore, right? And in this case, maybe it is all going to be worth it when projects like Hyperion are bringing in billions of dollars in investment to small remote economies that have otherwise been left behind in recent decades. But, unfortunately, what these communities might actually be subsidizing is their own destruction, which raises the obvious question, why are they still doing it? Well, to find out, all you need to do is follow the simple, practical economics. This video is sponsored by Odoo. Running a business can get really messy when the tools for everything from sales to inventory, accounting, or manufacturing all live in separate apps. Odoo solves that by putting every part of your operations into one platform that shares the same data automatically. A confirmed sale instantly reserves stock, creates a work order, schedules production, and generates an invoice without anyone having to enter the same data again, so human error doesn't slow down your business operations. Inventory never needs last-minute firefighting because Odoo tracks stock levels in real time and can create purchase suggestions or even orders automatically when materials run low. The accounting module handles invoicing and reconciliation automatically, and expenses can be captured easily with a phone camera and processed by AI. It's a massive productivity boost when everyone works in one system instead of switching tools all day. And the best part is flexibility. You only install the apps you need and build from there as your business grows. There's no reason not to give it a go, because you can try the full platform for 15 days with no credit card and one app in your toolbox for free. Use the link below to see how much you could save by running your entire business with Odoo. For all the concessions that local, state, and national governments are making to attract these data centers, the long-term economic benefits they will actually provide are questionable at best. To build these centers does indeed take billions of dollars in direct investment, but only a tiny, tiny fraction of that money will actually land in the local economy, and even that small slice isn't as beneficial as it might seem. Realistically, the second major consideration is just having the land available in the first place, and somewhere that land is already very cheap makes everything else far easier, because everything else can be built around it. According to a submission by the state's Economic Development Board, at its peak, the Hyperion site is going to directly employ around 5,000 construction workers. Now, that's a lot of employment opportunity coming to an area with a 12% unemployment rate, where a quarter of all residents live below the poverty line. But it does present an obvious challenge. With a local population of only 2,200 residents, every man, woman, and child could be put to work on constructing this data center, and they would still be 2,800 workers short. So of course, those workers will be brought in from outside the county, but the direct level of local employment has been intentionally left vague. Building out these facilities requires highly specialized skills, beyond just regular construction, which means the vast majority of these workers will be coming from outside the area, if not out of state entirely. Now, even still, for the few years that those personnel are on site to do all this work, they'll be renting homes in the area, spending money at local businesses, and even paying local taxes, which sounds good, but once the construction is done, these towns are back to square one, if they're lucky. These projects are effectively just creating boom towns like those that are seen in remote mining communities. People flood in while there are jobs on offer, but what's left behind after they move out is worse than when they started, because now the local economy has extra capacity for people who no longer live there. Even while construction is taking place, the news isn't all good either. Significantly increased commercial traffic in communities not built for this many people have increased things like traffic accidents by 600%, according to incident records. Now, these facilities will have some ongoing jobs to keep them operational, but they will be extremely minimal. Meta has announced that the Hyperion facility, one of the largest in existence, will maintain 500 full-time employees. That's not nothing, especially in such a small town, but the state is going to pay dearly for these jobs. In Illinois, government subsidies for similar programs worked out to cost around $1.4 million for every job created. In Nevada, it was $2.1 million. In terms of a decent return on investment, this is just not an efficient use of taxpayer money. This is also only the data coming from the states that have reported reliable accounts of these programs. Louisiana, for example, where Hyperion is being built, has not reliably produced data on its data center incentive programs. It sounds bad already, but it gets worse. These are largely going to be bad jobs. Most of these roles will be in basic maintenance, security, and janitorial work rather than the well-paid technical jobs the company would like people to think of. Most of that work will be done remotely from their engineers back in Palo Alto. The people left behind in these communities are also going to be the ones footing the bill for all those financial promises made to get these data centers constructed in the first place. Large-scale infrastructure development like new energy grids are usually paid off over decades through increased energy bills, and naturally the demand coming from a 5-gigawatt data center isn't going to help with those prices either. You've probably already noticed higher energy bills yourself, but the effects are a lot more concentrated in locations like this, where the average household is not doing financially well as it is. This also has knock-on impacts beyond just stretching already impoverished households. A lot of local businesses in rural areas are energy-intensive as well. Machine shops, chemical suppliers, mechanics, and even farms themselves use a lot of energy. For a lot of these small businesses, it's one of their largest input costs above even rent. If their energy prices rise relative to other surrounding areas, then they'll have to live with the tighter margins, move their business elsewhere, or just close down. In their press release, the Louisiana Economic Development Board did address this by highlighting that Meta and the grid operator, Entergy, will be contributing up to $1 million a year into the Power to Care low-income ratepayer support program. Now, that sounds great, but it won't go very far when covering the estimated $3 billion in energy infrastructure upgrades required to serve this site. The program also doesn't currently cover businesses, as it's focused exclusively on helping households who meet a set list of criteria. These generous estimates also rely on everything going exactly according to plan on the side of the AI companies. Nobody truly knows what the future of the market surrounding AI will look like, but it's not unreasonable to point out the potential that the level of spending currently being done by these companies won't go on like this forever. In such a case, it becomes even more unclear who's going to pick up that tab for infrastructure built out to support a facility built on shaky financial realities. So yeah, state, local, and even national governments are falling over themselves to hand out increasingly generous incentives to projects that are only going to undermine the viability of their economies in the future. The biggest and saddest irony of all this is that according to the companies themselves, they don't even care about the tax benefits. They have the money and the investor demand to build these centers, and they're going to do it with or without the tax incentives. But they won't say no if they're offered. So then, why do governments still do this? Well, partially it is lobbying, as with everything, but it's also the fact that big promises about big investments and big job creation is like catnip to people running for re-election. The Argentine announcement from OpenAI was made just days before the country had a major election, and at a local level, small-time politicians love a ribbon-cutting ceremony. For a lot of local residents, it's also a bittersweet opportunity to get out. According to data from Redfin compiled by Sharewood, property listing prices in the area surrounding the Hyperion data center rose by 172% in a single year. Prices for certain properties convenient for further development or worker lodging increased by as much as 6,900%. Farming has not been having a great year as it is, so a financial lifeline like this is almost a blessing in disguise, giving the companies the last component they need. Somewhere to do all this that won't cause too much backlash. Nobody wants to live near a data center, but if these facilities are going to sink the local economy anyway, a lot of people are happy to get out on a gold-encrusted lifeboat. So far, this has glossed over one other vital utility to run these data centers, and that is the data connection. But go and watch this video next to find out how a similar set of circumstances 30 years ago made it so that your internet was legally required to be terrible.